Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. If you're following us in the Legacy Reading Plan, I want to make just a couple of comments before we go to your questions. Right now in the Legacy Reading Plan, which is an innovative approach to reading through God's 66 love letters, one book at a time for the rest of your life, we are in the book of Ezra, as well as Nehemiah and Esther. Ezra and Nehemiah were originally bound together as one continuous history. Ezra continues the narrative of Chronicles by showing how God fulfills his promise to return his people to the land of promise after 70 years of exile. And of course, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. Of course, by contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the children of Israel within the rebuilt wall demands years of Nehemiah's life and leadership. And then, of course, the book of Esther. I was talking to my daughter Christina on a trip this Memorial Day weekend about the book of Esther, which is her favorite book in the Bible, about the fact that God's name never actually even appears in the book of Esther, but his hand of providence and protection on behalf of his people is evident throughout the book. Of course, the book encapsulates a genocidal plot by the king's advisor Haman, which is countered by the courage of a beautiful Jewish woman named Esther, providentially placed in the kingdom for just such a time as this. Esther's courage, along with the wise counsel of her cousin Mordecai, resulted in deliverance for the Jewish people, and demonstrated God's sovereign power over people and nations. And if there's one thing that I have garnered this time through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as well as 1st and 2nd Kings, is a certain knowledge of God's sovereign plan. He raises up nations and peoples for his purposes. And we as Christians have an opportunity to be part of that sovereign plan of God, his hand upon us, to make a difference for time and for eternity. And I want to talk to you about that for just one moment, because we are now halfway through our Jubilee year at the Christian Research Institute, a year in which we purpose by God's grace to rid the ministry of an anchor of debt, so as to wholeheartedly embrace the vision he has placed before us. To begin with, there have been some extraordinary developments on the financial front. God has moved upon friends of the Christian Research Institute to wipe out $2.5 million of what seemed not all that long ago to be an insurmountable radio debt. Although this is incredible progress, the urgent need is still upon us, because the remaining need by fiscal year end, which is June 30, which is only 30 days and counting, is now just under $600,000. On the ministry front, things are likewise exhilarating. God has opened unparalleled opportunities to strengthen a burgeoning church in the East. Multitudes embroiled in ancestor worship, animism, folk and world religions have come to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. However, while they have come to worship Jesus, many have scant familiarity with His Word. The Christian Research Institute is called to strengthen these fledgling believers in the faith. While in the East there's wildfire, in the West there's almost no fire. And that is particularly true among our youth. A recent headline on the front page of USA Today reads, "Young adults less devoted to the faith. Survey shows steady drift from church life." And the article goes on to point out that most young adults today don't pray, don't worship, don't read the Bible. Among those who call themselves Christian, many are either mushy Christians or Christian in name only. Most, sadly, are just indifferent. In stark terms, this underscores the reality that the Christian church in the West is in sharp decline. The millennial generation, walking away from the faith in droves, and we're drifting towards what Western Europe has looked like for decades. Well, anticipation of expanding our influence among both an increasingly secular West and a burgeoning East, I have redoubled my passion for ministry, wanting the next 10 years of my life to be the most significant, and I know that you feel exactly the same way. As always, the vision that God has given us together would be impossible to accomplish without you. Thousands of like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ are necessary to rescue the perishing, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why they believe what they believe, then seekers will stumble and skeptics will be strengthened in unbelief. And if we don't equip our fellow believers with truth, then the historic Christian faith for which the martyrs spilled their blood will be increasingly marginalized. And that makes your gift to help overcome our 600,000 shortfall by June 30 so critically important. The number is huge, but together insignificant, easily surmountable. In a time of complacency and compromise where Christians and churches lack discernment, CRI and the Bible Answer Men broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand. We will stand because truth matters. And in God's grace, we depend on friends like you. So I'm asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30. Let the Lord direct you, and please be generous. Remember, we have only until June 30 to meet this critical $600,000 shortfall. And I want to thank you in advance for making a difference while there is yet time. The gospel's free. Someone needs to put in the plumbing, and we pray that you will be that person together with thousands of others to make that difference in both the East and the West. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants by dialing 888-7000-CRI, or you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And do remember that the month of June is one of those catch-up months that is so significant in strengthening the ministry as we make a difference while there is yet time. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org as the Lord leads you. Let's go right to the phone lines. We'll talk first to Milt. He's a Canadian listener in Vancouver, hello, British Columbia, listening on KARI. Hi, Milt.
Hello, Hank. Firstly, I want to say thank you for your ministry. You've helped me significantly. I've known the Lord all my life. I'm an old man, well past retirement. But I'm still going because He allows it. You've taught me lots, and I do appreciate it. If I break up a little bit, you'll have to pardon me. When I talk about God, I usually break up. Just love Him. At any rate, I have three questions. First question is, I deal with many ministries, and I'm just a working stiff. I can't do a lot anywhere, but I do something somewhere. I'm in Canada. Firstly, can you give me an address where I can send something for you, June?
Yeah, Post Office Box 8500.
Okay, just a minute. P.O. Box 8500.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Would you spell that for me? I'm not.
Yeah, it's just Charlotte. S-H-A-R.
Yes.
H-A-R.
H-A-R?
Mm-hmm.
H-A-R-T, okay.
No, it's Charlotte. It's S-H-A-R-L-O-T-T-E.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little hard of hearing, and I think I don't want to miss this. Please say this.
Okay, here's the
one more time spelling.
Yeah, it's Charlotte, North Carolina. C-H-A-R.
C-H-A-R.
L-O-T-T-E.
L-O-T-T-E, North Carolina, zip.
28271.
28271. Thank you.
You got it.
Now, my questions are, I have two.
Okay.
Number one, but they're tied together, so let me finish. First thing is in my belief, when Jesus went to the cross, one of the last things He said is, "It is finished." And to me, what that means is, I have taken your beating. I have lived a perfect life that you cannot. I have done the work. You are forgiven if you will just receive me. In other words, you see, I do not ask for forgiveness every day. As a matter of fact, I never do, because in my belief, what I'm saying is, Jesus, go back to the cross, because I am forgiven. And the other thing that bothers me, when Jesus was talking to His disciples, He said, this is how you pray, and it's John 3:16, and we all know that one. But in that prayer, it not only raises up and praises the Lord, it also says, and this one troubles me, forgive me my trespass, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil and the rest. Now then, what He's saying, I think, is that's what Jesus said. You pray this way daily. And if when you pray to say, forgive us our trespasses, well, you're asking for forgiveness. In my belief, it's if I ask Jesus for forgiveness, which I already have, once you received Him, and I'm fortunate I have, am I asking Him to go back to the cross, or should I pray daily that forgive me my trespasses?
Well,
I'm
I understand,
and I don't want to. Yeah. I cannot afford to be wrong.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad you so clearly enunciated the question, because a lot of people struggle with this same issue. It is finished, and what you communicated is absolutely true, Milt, with respect to Christ's finished work on the cross. The debt has been paid in full. That's precisely what Jesus Christ is saying.
Yeah, only if you receive Him.
Yeah, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Small of a word.
Yeah, your debt has been paid in full. But it is also true that while positionally you are declared righteous before God, practically, you are still a sinner. And as a result of that, we should heed what Jesus Christ says in the Lord's Prayer, in the prayer of Jesus, in that magnificent prayer that gives us all the principles of communicating with our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we should pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or as the brother of Jesus said, therefore, confess your sins, a present active subjunctive, which is a grammatical construction denoting continuing action. Keep on confessing. And of course, John says precisely that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. So positionally, yes, Milt, we are declared righteous before God. Practically, we are yet sinners, and therefore we must continually ask God for forgiveness as daily we sin in thought, word, and deed. Thank you so much for your question, an important question. We'll be back on the other side of the break with so many more questions. You can call in your question at 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? A special one-time gift would help us fulfill our mission to provide Christians carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers to their most pressing questions. To donate, call us at 888-7000-274, where our resource consultants are waiting for your call. Or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, back to the program with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our callers now. Talk to Telesi and listening on the web in Canada, in Manitoba. Hi.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful. My question is in regards to the chapter number 10 in the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, this past year, I did a discipleship training school through YWAM.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was a big challenge for my thinking was just teaching around spiritual warfare. And in particular, this chapter came up at one point where Daniel is praying for 3 weeks and praying and fasting rigorously for 3 weeks. And after 21 days, this angel comes to him with a message and basically says that the prince of Persia resisted him for 21 days. And it was suggested that this is a spiritual force over Persia, that there was a spiritual battle going on in the spiritual realm. And it was as a result of Daniel's rigorous prayer and fasting that this battle was able to be won. And I'm just wondering if you can maybe give me some thoughts on this passage and also just the suggestion that there are spiritual forces that have authority over specific territories and things like that.
Yeah, a couple of things at the outset. Let me say I wrote a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, that gives you a proper perspective on spiritual warfare, because there certainly is a lot of mythology being communicated in Christian circles with respect to spiritual warfare. And it's not important to know whether there are territorial spirits, and I don't think that this passage actually answers that question, and asking that question of this passage is asking the wrong question of this passage. But my overall point here is that whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil is not the real issue. The real issue is to put on the full armor of God, the covering that Paul gives us an outline for in Ephesians chapter 6. Because if we put on the full armor of God, we are invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. It's also important to recognize that you see no evidence whatsoever of Jesus or his disciples rebuking national or territorial demons. And therefore, again, I think to try to take an apocalyptic passage and get out of that some kind of a practice for rebuking territorial spirits is going beyond what the text is telling us. Furthermore, you need to realize that the book of Daniel is a genre that is characterized by richly symbolic, metaphorical, and mythological language, including fantasy imagery. You see imagery of a leopard with four heads and four wings in Daniel 7. And that is used, this kind of language, to infuse catastrophic this-worldly events with their full theological and spiritual significance. When you see this description in Daniel chapter 10 of a son of man, I think that you have a description of the son of man that is also communicated elsewhere throughout the book of Daniel as Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the language that is used in Daniel is very similar to the language used in Revelation chapter 1. So it's apocalyptic language, and this apocalyptic language is used in the midst of a 6th century Babylonian captivity in which God is revealing through Daniel his present and eternal purposes for Israel and the world. Daniel accurately predicts the progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and the Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including his desecration of the Jerusalem temple, his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus in 165 BC. But he's using apocalyptic language to do so. And this apocalyptic language must not be imbued with a meaning that it is not intended to have. When Jesus Christ is described as dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest, or his feet that look like bronze burning in a fire, this is not intended to communicate what Jesus Christ looks like, but rather what Jesus Christ is like. So we don't want to read meanings into the language that the language is not intended to communicate. And I would really recommend, not only in terms of spiritual warfare, the covering, which is a very significant book in teaching you how to rightly apply the principles of spiritual warfare, but also a book that I wrote called The Apocalypse Code, which helps you understand apocalyptic language. In fact, helps you how to read the Bible for all it's worth in general. Because if we don't understand how to do so, we're going to read meanings into passages that the passages were not intended to communicate. We're also going to start involving ourselves in practices that miss the point. So we'll be standing, as many Christians do today, in a circle and turning from north to east to south to west and rebuking territorial spirits, and that misses the point of spiritual warfare altogether. We need to understand what it means to put on the belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness, to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to know what it means to take up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We need to know what the helmet of salvation is and what the sword of the Spirit is, which is the Word of God, how to pray at all times in the Spirit. So if we don't apply the proper principles of warfare, we're going to be impotent in spiritual warfare. If we miss the point, and instead of applying these principles, start getting involved in mythology because we mistake the meaning of apocalyptic language, we're going to be in a world of hurt. So I recommend two resources here. One, The Covering, because it gives you the principles of spiritual warfare. And two, The Apocalypse Code, which helps you read the Bible for all it's worth. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shannon next. Shannon is listening on Bot Radio in Belleville, Illinois. Hi, Shannon.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I just had a question. You were talking about forgiveness and how we had to ask forgiveness every day. Does that mean if we don't ask forgiveness every day that we lose our salvation?
No, and that, again, is a very good question for purposes of clarification. No, it doesn't mean that you lose your salvation or your union with God, but it does break your communion with God.
Okay.
So our sins cannot damage our relationship with God, but they can destroy our fellowship with God. In other words, our sin does not break union, but can break communion,
okay,
relationship.
Do you believe that we can lose our salvation?
No. We cannot lose our union with God. In other words, we cannot lose our salvation, but we can have a break in our communion with God.
Well, what about, there's a verse in 1 Peter, I believe, that says that if you walk away, if you turn your back on God, that he would not know you, or that, I can't remember, but
right.
I was raised Baptist, and I believe in eternal security, but I'm attending a church of God, and they believe you can lose your salvation. And so I've been having a lot of debates, and, you know, I'm kind of struggling with it.
Yeah, and this is one of those issues that a lot of people struggle with, and I think that what you have to do is interpret the clear passages of Scripture such that the cloudy passages of Scripture fade away as a result of the brightness of the sun or the brightness of the Word of God illumining truth. There are cloudy passages. They must always be interpreted in light of clear passages. And I think the Scripture is replete with passages that testify to the security of believer. John 5:24 assures us that he who believes has eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:8 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Jude 24 guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. You look at the book of Ephesians, it provides the surety that you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So again, I think that the clear passages of Scripture provide us with ample warrant to believe that God knows those who are his own. He holds them in his hands such that no one can snatch them from the grasp of our Heavenly Father.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome, and it's a great question. There's no evidence in Scripture whatsoever, Shannon, that you have to be born again and again and again. You must be born again. When you're born again, the one who justifies you also does something marvelous for you. He continues to sanctify you. In other words, he changes you from the inside out. Now, we have to cooperate with the work of God by being involved in those basics of praying and reading the Bible and being vitally connected to a healthy, well-balanced church. But it is God who changes us.
Right. Awesome. You don't know what an answer prayer that is. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and let me say one other thing to you, too, and this has to do with 2 Peter 2:20. You asked me specifically about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is clearly an example that Peter gives of people who are not genuine believers, but actually false teachers in the context.
Yeah. That's the way I saw it, too, but you can't really debate that in a church that, you know, is founded on those beliefs. So,
yeah, and it's important that we know that we are secure in the overcomer, Jesus Christ. We're overcomers because he is the overcomer. And
right.
Therefore, we are in Jesus Christ, and the one who redeems us by his blood will sanctify us and one day will glorify us. And we look forward to that day, don't we, Shannon?
Yes. Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate your call. On the other side of the break, we'll be taking more of your calls. Do remember, this is a ministry that is making a difference in so many lives. I was just in a conference this weekend, and there were literally hundreds of people who communicated how the ministry of the Christian Research Institute has impacted their lives in a dramatic way. You have a part in that as a minister of the gospel working with us for time and for eternity in the lives of people. Join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We can't do the work without you. We need you. We'll be right back.
In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2. Plus, all new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Aaron, listening on XM170 in Cabot, Arkansas. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, based on the assumption that our resurrected bodies will be like Christ's resurrected body, that was able to, in the flesh, defy certain physical laws such as gravity, appearing, disappearing, reappearing, and such, can we assume that those restrictive laws of nature will not be a part of the new earth and therefore are a result of the fall?
Well, a couple of things. I would say that as the God-man, Jesus Christ transcends time and space. And so the God-man is able to do things that we will not be able to do of necessity. At least we can say that we're not certain that we'll be able to do in the new heavens and the new earth.
Okay.
So I don't know that we can assume that we can transcend space in the same way that the God-man could transcend space. But as far as the overall question is concerned, we know that as a result of sin, the universe now is groaning in travail, and it's mm-hmm. waiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And when that happens, the universe is going to be restored in a way that we can't now fully comprehend. We know that the old order of things will pass away and all things will become new. This is true not only of the universe itself, but it's true of us in our resurrected bodies. We'll be the same physically, but likely we'll be different organizationally. What that means, we don't fully know. We just know that we will be like a caterpillar going through a metamorphosis, and we'll become like a butterfly. How that will allow us to function in this new universe, again, is a question that the Bible doesn't fully answer.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your insight on that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for the question. Appreciate it. Want to go back to the phone line. Believe it or not, we have another Aaron in Nashville, Tennessee calling. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, and you.
I had a question. It's not originally mine, but the question was asked, why did Jesus use the term, if you drink my blood and eat of my flesh, when the Old Testament law says not to partake in things like cannibalism and things like that?
Right, and of course, Jesus isn't talking about cannibalism. This passage in John 6 is to be taken spiritually, not in a wooden, literal fashion. When we eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, this is a metaphor, a very poignant metaphor, which communicates becoming one with Jesus Christ, one with the body of Christ as well. So it's a poignant, powerful metaphor. And of course, we know this if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, because just a few verses earlier, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now, to say that Jesus Christ is the bread of life is not to say that Jesus Christ is the staff of life, but rather the stuff of life, the essence of life. So Jesus says, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. So Jesus Christ is equating eating and drinking with believing. So again, we don't take this in a wooden literal sense, but in the sense which is intended or reflected by the context.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Great question, Aaron. And I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Carolyn in New Jersey, Hawthorne, New Jersey. Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, hi. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. I've been trying for months to talk to you, sir. I have a question that's just absolutely really driving me and my family crazy. And I don't know if we're allowed to mention names, but it's about the teaching of Harold Camping with his 2011 theory that the world will end. Is there any truth in this? Or can there be truth in someone? Can we know the day and the hour of Christ's return?
No, we cannot. We know that Christ will appear a second time, but when Christ will appear a second time, the Bible gives us no answer to. So we can only improperly speculate about those kinds of things, because that is left in the mystery of God. We simply do not know. And now you also need to watch who you're listening to, because here's a man who has been predicting when Jesus Christ will be returning many times. In fact, in 1994, he said that Christ was going to return. In fact, he said when September 6, 1994 arrives, no one else can be saved. The end has come.
Right.
So here is a guy that's made a cottage industry out of reading into Scripture what Scripture isn't intended to communicate. So he's doing what's called eisegesis, reading something into Scripture that the Holy Spirit hasn't placed in the Scripture, rather than exegesis, taking out of Scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed in Scripture. And to really underscore this, let me play Harold Camping in his own words. And as you listen, discern carefully how he's reading something in the text that this text isn't intended to communicate.
The best place in the Bible that focuses on 2011 is a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where God is talking about two judgments. One judgment is the judgment of the flood of Noah's day, and the other is the judgment at the end of the world. And in that context, God says, "Beloved, there's one thing that I do not want you to be ignorant of, and that is that a day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day." That's a very, very intriguing statement, and it's very curious that when we, because we know that the flood occurred in 4990 BC, and if we go 7 days, that is 7,000 years from there, we land on the year 2011. 2011 keeps shining through as the probable date for the probable year that will end this Earth's existence.
Okay, let's think about that for a moment. The first thing he does is he uses a text in 2 Peter 3:8.
Right, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, and that text is not intended to tell us about a thousand-year time frame, but it's intended to tell us that God does not reckon time as we reckon time.
Right.
When the metaphor thousand is used in Scripture to say God uses or God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, we don't start saying, "Oh, that's very interesting. Cattle, thousand." Now, we know that's a metaphor for saying that God owns everything. If God says, "I will increase your number a thousand times," we don't take that in a wooden literal sense. We take it in the sense in which it's intended. If God says, "I will show loving kindness to a thousand generations," we don't start calculating the generations to find out when God's loving kindness ends, but we know it's a metaphor for saying that God's loving kindness is everlasting. So the first thing he does is he's reading something into this passage that the passage isn't intended to communicate. In fact, denuding the passage of what it is intended to communicate. Secondly, he's telling us when the flood occurred. How does he know that? How does he know the flood occurred 4,990 BC? And if he doesn't know that, as he surely does not, then he doesn't have the right starting point. Therefore, he can't come up with the right ending point. And this is something that he has done over and over again. He's coming up with these schemes by reading into the text what the text isn't intended to tell us, and he is coming up with artificial dates in history, which he does not know with a certainty at all. But it's all great for selling books or propagating sensationalism, and it gets believers focused on the wrong thing. We need to be vigilant and vibrant while there is yet time, making a difference, redeeming the time, as opposed to being engaged in endless sensationalistic speculations.
Now, what about the 200 million? He feels that out of the entire world, only 200 million people can be saved. He said it's like 1 in 70. It's like a lottery. Only 1 in 70 people will be saved.
Yeah, this is just this is abominable. This again is reading something into Scripture. There's absolutely nothing in the Bible that would suggest something like this. Absolutely zero.
You know, it's like, how do we become saved? Because he keeps saying you can't believe because believing is a work, and unless God opens your spiritual eyes, you can't believe. All we can do is cry out for mercy, and maybe God will save you if he chooses to. So it's like, how do we know if we're even saved? How do you become saved?
Yeah, well, first of all, faith is not a work. Faith and works are contrasted with one another in such a way that Paul clearly communicates that faith is not a work. So therein, at the very beginning, lies a faulty presupposition on his part. But in his theology, he believes that there are many people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction, and therefore there is no possibility that they can respond to the gospel because they've been created in such a way that they can't respond to the gospel. Now, that in and of itself is not heretical. The problem is he now links that presupposition with all kinds of faulty aspects of biblical interpretation. It ends up in just a horrible quagmire. In fact, I would say that it's not too much to assert the fact that the glue that holds his theology together is numerology,
right? Exactly.
And mysticism, which looks for a truth locked up in these hidden mysterious meanings imbued in numbers. So this is a really bad way to read Scripture. As opposed to that, we need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. In fact, I've just developed a flip chart, which is going to be coming out in the next couple of months. It's already completed. Now it's being produced, which teaches Christians how to read the Bible for all it's worth, as opposed to reading it in the horrible fashion in which Harold Camping does.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for your call. And this is a great example of the fact that we're not ever going to be politically correct. And by saying what I've just said, I'm sure I've lost a lot of supporters. But truth matters, and we're going to tell the truth. We're going to speak the truth, no matter what the cost. And we do hope and pray by God's providence that He will lead people that love the Ring of Truth to stand with this ministry in an uncompromising fashion. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity. Even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.